you're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
It's one of my favorite things to listen to somebody's testimony, to see what God has done in their life and where he's brought them, what he's brought them from, what he's carried them through, or how he's encouraged and cared for and protected them in their lives. It's just amazing to see. And so I am really excited. I'm going to invite Netha Hildebrandt to come up to share first. It was awesome when Netha joined our group this year. She was worried she'd missed the boat because she asked a little late, but we are very happy to accommodate anyone who wants to be baptized. And so it's been great to have her become a part of that group and go through those classes with us, and I'm just very excited to hear what she has to share with us this morning.
I'm very nervous. All right. Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I am Netha Hildebrandt. I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad took me to church and Sunday school and taught me about God. I went to DVBS and camp and did accept Jesus as my Savior. At the time, I really had no idea what it meant. As I grew older and became a teenager, I wanted nothing to do with God. My life revolved around having a good time, and alcohol became part of my life. Okay, sorry. When anyone would try to talk to me about God, I would run away as fast as I could. Even after I graduated and moved to Winnipeg, I continued doing the same thing. Fast forward a few years, I got married and had 3 children, and my life continued the same as before. My mom and dad continued praying for me. I knew I needed a change, but just was not ready. In 2002, we lost our dad. And that changed my world forever. My heart was broken. But again, I continued doing what I did. I saw my son grow in his faith and wanted that too. So I started going to church. I still wasn't sure what I wanted. Until one day when I thought my whole life was falling apart, I prayed for God to come into my life and help me with these things. That was the day God changed my life forever. God helped me through this big struggle I had. This was in May 2006. I still struggled with a lot of things. I still wasn't sure about being baptized. I was asked a few times about being baptized, but I wasn't ready. I guess God still had to work in my heart. I had a few things that really made me doubt God. First was my dad passing away. Then my brother getting sick. Then my niece Lacey getting sick and passing away. When my nephew Isaiah stopped breathing when he was supposed to have appendix surgery. I thought, why, Lord? We had been through so much already. And this last year with my brother-in-law being diagnosed with cancer. I thought, why, Lord? Why? When Erin had her seizure in January, it really caused me to stop and think. I started trusting God more and reading my Bible and praying. God showed me that going through these things made me stronger in my faith. Once I realized I could give it all to Him and started trusting God more, I made a big change. Then when baptism class started, I decided I wanted to be baptized. God had changed my life in so many ways. I prayed more. I loved going to church and hearing God's word. I'm so excited to have Jesus in my life and tell the whole world about Jesus. God is so good. The verse that I want to share with you has stuck with me for many years. I learned it at VBS and at Camp Arnis. We had to memorize it. The verse is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Thanks to my family for always praying for me and for always being there and continue being there. Thank you to the church and for the support and continued prayer for me. Thank you.
Next, I'm going to invite up Olivia Friesen. It's been a long time coming, hasn't it? Olivia approached me, has to have been, at least a year ago already, desiring to be baptized. And due to circumstances in the world, it hasn't been possible because her desire was to publicly proclaim this, to have you here, to make sure that people knew what she believed and what she wanted to follow. It's been really encouraging to see her grow in her faith through years at youth group and getting to be a part of that. So I'm very encouraged and excited to have her come up now and share her story with us.
Good morning. I grew up in a Christian home raised by two loving parents who took me to church every Sunday. I've always participated in service and Sunday school, but I officially asked God into my heart around the age of 10 at Girls Club one evening when Tracy Hodges asked the group of young girls if anyone would like to ask Jesus into our hearts. I said yes, and I remember clearly what a happy day that was for me. From that day on, I continued to enjoy learning about God and his love for me. When I was 13, my grandpa passed away very unexpectedly, leaving me to question everything that I knew about God. I often ask myself how he could let something so terrible happen. But in the last couple of years, I have regained my faith, and I now see God working around me every day. And I'm ready and excited to publicly proclaim that I'm ready, that I choose to love and follow God. A piece of scripture that I love is found in 1 John 4:19, and it reads, "We love because he loved us first." Thank you.
Robert, you're up, bud. What to say about Robert? I'm going to keep it short because I don't know how much of it I should share from the pulpit, but I've really enjoyed Robert. Just a very, a guy who's been a lot of fun to hang out with and to see grow as well. And inside of him, I see a servant heart just by his willingness to get involved and help with a lot of different things within the church, or even just for me at home, just always being willing to stop by when he's on a bike ride or drive around town to chat with Beth and myself when we're in the yard. He's just a great guy, and I'm very excited that he decided to be a part of this today as well. So, all you.
Hey, I'm Robert. I was born into a Christian home with two Christian parents of Dale and Melody, and I accepted Christ as a young age. I don't really remember when it was, but I know I did. And we moved to Valley View, and that was good because I could always take part in their chapels that they had, and that strengthened my faith, just being around believers pretty much every day all summer. It was just really encouraging, and I know that I can just always turn to God with anything, any trouble, since he's always going to be with me. And a verse I like is Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will never not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And I just never have to fear anything because I know that I have God with me.
I Shelby. Shelby Taves will be sharing with us next. Another one who it's been a long time coming for. She also approached me a long time ago desiring to be baptized, but we're here now. We made it. I've been the beneficiary of her baking on many occasions, which I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the relationship she's developed with my wife. It's been awesome to see you meet with her, talk with her, and the growth that's come out of those times. And also, whenever I play games with Beth, I always lose, and you always win against her. And so I think that's just a healthy thing for our home as well. So thank you for sharing.
Hi, I'm Shelby. I grew up in a good Christian home, so I accepted Christ into my life at a very young age. I never really lived my life without Jesus in it because I was taught about him all my life. But being so young, I never knew what it really meant to live for God. As I grew up, I focused on myself. I was focused on the stuff I wanted and all the stuff I thought I needed. I went to church and to Sunday school, and I could answer all the questions, but my heart was not in the right place. Then one night when I was 12, I remember having a bad dream. I don't really remember what the dream was about, but I remember it really scared me. I started having all these doubts and wondering where I was going to go when I died. And I started thinking and had a realization that I haven't been living for God, and I wasn't really a Christian. So then I went to my mom and asked her, like, how do I know if you're a Christian and how to become a Christian? And then we had a long talk and she prayed with me. And then I rededicated my life to God. Since then, I've been growing in my relationship with God by reading my Bible and also by going to youth group, Bible study, and with family. With COVID and these lockdowns has really challenged me this past year. It was easy to get upset and frustrated with all the chaos going around in the world. It was easy to complain about all the things that were going wrong or not the way I wanted them to be going. I'd always be asking God, why is it not getting better? Why can't you just stop this? It seemed just as it was about to get better, it would just go back to being worse. But through all this, I learned to trust in God more and know that God is in control and he is still good in the good and the bad times. One verse that has really meant a lot to me this past year is Joshua 1 verse 9, which says, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This verse reminds me that even when we're alone, God is still with me. Today I want to be baptized to publicly show my commitment to follow Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Anchoring the team this week is Ethan Taves. Ethan was shorter than the height of my shoulder when I started working at the church here, and now I swear he's the same height as me, if not taller. Beyond your physical growth spurt, it's been awesome to see you grow in your faith. The maturity that I see in you is beyond your years, which, you know, we always joked that you've been a 40-year-old since you were 15 when it comes to how you view the farm and life, But the growth in your faith and the way that you've matured in that and pursued that has been very encouraging as well. And so I'm very excited to hear what you share with us this morning.
Those who don't know me, my name is Ethan Taves. I was blessed to be born into a Christian home. I accepted Christ at the age of 3. I don't really remember it clearly, but I do remember the desire to follow God. Looking back, it wasn't till grade 7 that I really chose to make my faith my own. Till this point, I didn't have that personal relationship and fully understand what being a Christian really was other than going to church. Throughout these years, specifically, God used many struggles in my life to grow my faith and learn to trust him in all situations. In my class that year, I was one of 2 Christians in my grade, and we were going through the theory of evolution. I was constantly bugged by one of my classmates for refusing to believe what we were being taught. This helped me to motivate me to study and learn more about creation so I could stand strong in my faith. I began spending more time in the Word every day, which was a great habit to get into and really helped me through a lot of hard times. Before class one day, I remember going in from recess and just being extremely anxious about having to stand up for what I believe. I remember praying on the way in that God would be with me and give me the words to say. I instantly remember feeling all the weight and anxiety being lifted off of me and felt total peace going into that class. I went into class and was able to answer all the questions that my classmate had, and through that I was able to share the story of creation and how it and explain the reason we need Jesus. Through the days and surrounding that, God taught me the power of prayer and to lean, that I can lean on him through every trial, and he will be there for me. During my early teen years, I wrestled with the concept of grace. I found myself doubting my salvation, which led me to want to work for it. This made it really easy for Satan to come in and beat me up over my shortfalls. Working through that, I always found myself in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 to 10. It reads, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, but is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Started youth group at the start of grade 8, and it was a real encouragement for me. Hanging out and praying together with a group of tight guys really opened my eyes to what being a Christian was all about. In the summer of 2018, I believe it was, God led me to Valley View Bible Camp, where I served as a skill coach for archery and riflery. If there's one thing God taught me during my time there, is that God can use anyone to carry out his plan. During my time there, I worked with a lot of inner city kids whose home lives were really rough. One of the kids who was probably the biggest troublemaker was in my cabin that week. Anyways, on the second last night of camp, he mentioned that he was tired of being angry. Later that night, he decided to accept Christ. This kid was night and day different, and it was amazing to see how God had softened his heart and the joy that was pouring out of him. The reason I bring up this story is that to me, this kid was a brat, and it just seemed impossible to get anything through to him. But even through that, God showed me that no one is too far gone to be saved, including myself. Even though I didn't feel like I was good enough to lead, God showed me he can use me despite my flaws and doubts. All I have to do is be a humble servant and help point them to Jesus, and he will do the rest. The last couple years of working through this COVID chaos has really been challenging for me, but also humbling. It was easy to get caught up in all the drama going on, but as a Christian, the peace I've been able to find knowing that God is in control of it has helped me to not get hung up on it, but to trust in God. I've chosen to get baptized today to profess publicly my desire to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. Thanks for listening.
We would now like to invite all the baptism candidates and the ministerial to please join us on stage for the prayer of dedication.
Well, it's been a good morning so far, and I love hearing the testimonies, but we want to just take some time to pray for each one of these candidates as well. And so I asked select people in the ministerial to pray specifically for one person, and then Matt and I will close. So let's pray together.
Dear Heavenly Father, I bring Netha before you this morning, and I thank you that her life is precious in your sight. I thank you for the many gifts that you've given her, for her joy and her enthusiasm for her family and her community, and for her heart to serve you. And mostly I thank you for her obedience in being baptized today, and for her public declaration of the change that's happened in her heart. I just please ask you to strengthen Netha as she lives to be a light in her home, as a wife and a mother, and in her community as well. I thank you for her testimony where she was just honest with her questions for you, and I just thank you that you are the rock that she can rely on, even if she doesn't always understand. I just thank you for her faith and that it's growing. And I thank you for your promise that says he who began good work in you will finish it on the day of completion. And I just thank you for the work that you're doing in Netha, and I just pray that you would bless her today. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of this special granddaughter. Thank you that she's given her heart to you, and for the gift of salvation that you have given to her. Give her a hunger for your word and a desire to obey you. Give her discernment to recognize your truth and to recognize the lies of the evil one. Thank you for the gifts and the interests that you've given her, and guide her to use her gifts to your honor and glory. Protect her, Lord, and fill her with your joy, love, and peace. I thank you in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Olivia. I thank you for the gift of salvation that you have given her. And I thank you for how you've been clearly working in her life. And I pray that you would continue to strengthen her faith as she goes on from here, as she goes on to college, and whatever happens after that. Lord, please, I pray that she would feel your presence and that you would just use her in mighty ways. Thank you for the gifts that you've given her, and I pray that she would just be bold in sharing your love with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for working in Ethan's heart. Lord, the changes that you've made in his life and his recognition and in your work in his life. Lord, I just thank you that you've opened his eyes to your Spirit's leading, and I just thank you for this day that you've given us, that his choice is being fulfilled and as far as being baptized publicly before you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that as he goes from here, that you would be near to him, that he would feel your presence, Lord, that he would always look to you for every aspect of his life, whether it is praising you, Lord, or asking you for help, that in all things, Lord, that he would find you and see you and recognize your goodness in him. Lord, I just pray a special blessing upon Ethan, that your Spirit might work mighty things in his life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father in heaven, we lift up Robert to you this morning as well. I thank you so much for him. It has been such an incredible blessing to be a part of his life the last number of years here now, to see him come to youth and just be an attending member of our youth group, to being genuinely a friend and a brother in Christ. And now today, Lord, I am so excited to be a part of this with him up here, to see him make this decision, this declaration, this act of obedience as he walks in his life with you. I just pray that as he moves forward from this day, that obedience and submission and servanthood would be defining features of his life, that he would continue to walk faithfully, that he would continue to seek and pursue you regardless of what the world throws at him, no matter what kind of hardships, struggles, obstacles that lay before him, joys and defeats, that he would continuously look to you as the source of his hope, as his Savior, and as the one in whom he has put his trust, and he is proclaiming that here this morning. And so I thank you for that. Just ask your hand of blessing upon him. Lead him and guide him as he goes from here. God, we pray for all of these candidates. We are very thankful as members of the body of Christ, as people who care about them, to be able to share this day of celebration. And so, God, I just pray that we would be reminded to be praying for them beyond this day as they walk through life, that you would continue to guide them and that we would be a part of that growth and that journey that you were leading them on, Lord.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can be here this morning. It is a good place to be, and I thank you for each one of these candidates. Father, I pray that this would be a special day for them. I pray that it would be a special day for their families as they have come here to support them. Lord, I pray that each person that is here this morning, whether this is their church home or whether they're just here to support and to witness this public display of obedience to you, Father, I pray that each and every one of us would be reminded about who you are and what you have done for each and every one of us. And so, Father, I pray that this would be a marker, a memorial for these candidates, as that they would use this as a source of encouragement as they move forward in their lives. We ask your blessing on them. We ask your blessing on this service. And thank you that we can be here. We give you glory and we give you honor this morning. We thank you for your love and for your grace, for your mercy, and for your death on the cross. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's time this morning for some scripture reading. We have some select texts that have been laid out for us this morning. So if you would join me in Joshua chapter 3, if you have a Bible with you. In chapter 3, we will be reading verses 4 to 9, and then verses 14 to 17. And those read, "Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you.' Joshua said to the priests, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people.' So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go in and stand in the river.' Joshua said to the Israelites, 'Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God.'" Now jump with me, if you would, to 14 to 17. "So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. And while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabath, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed crossing on dry ground." If you would read with me also now, chapter 4, verses 1 to 8 and 14 to 24. "When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests were standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight.' So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, 'Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, "What do these stones mean?" tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp where they put them down. That day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they stood in awe of Moses. And then the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests to carry the Ark of the covenant law, to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over.'" He did this so that the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and that you might always fear the Lord your God. pretty cool story. Just want to take some time right now really quick to emphasize, as I have on numerous occasions recently, the importance of prayer. Normally this would be a time where we do share in prayer time as a church family, but right now we just want to focus on praying for these individuals as they come up again to be baptized. It is a great day to be able to participate in this, and so now if you would bow with me again, we'll just pray for them. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning, the opportunity to be here to share with this, and now to participate. I ask that our hearts would be moved to prayer, even as we watch and participate in them coming up into this tank to be baptized. And Lord, I pray that that would carry on beyond this day into whatever life brings before us. God, this is a joyful day. I just pray that our hearts would be moved to celebrating, that out of love we would continue to celebrate with them beyond here, to encourage them, to walk with them faithfully, to be a part of their journey and their testimony as it continues to grow. Father, I just ask your hand of blessing now upon this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, this is it's already been established that this is a great day. This is a day that we haven't had in our church for a few years. And so it makes it actually even a little bit more exciting. And so you who come here every Sunday, I'm glad you're here. And if you are here just for this week, we're glad you're here too. And we're thankful that you could come and support these five. Baptism is a special time. It's a special service. It's a special step of obedience. It isn't something that at West End we believe that the baptism is an outward expression of something that has already happened on the inside of us. It is a symbol. It is not something that saves us specifically, but it is a step of obedience that even the Lord Jesus in the scriptures submitted to. And if it's good enough for the Lord Jesus, it's probably good enough for us, right? So as I told these candidates as we met over the last number of weeks, I'm greatly honored and greatly privileged that I get to take part in your baptism. And so thank you for that opportunity. And thank you that you have submitted this way in obedience to the Lord. And I just pray that this would be a rich and an amazing blessing for you that you will remember forever. So I'm going to ask you to come up on stage, and we're going to ask you some questions. And remember, I gave you the answers to these questions. So come on up, you guys. Bring your towels. And Matt, you can come over here. You're not getting baptized. Yeah. All right. Candidates, Netha, Shelby, Olivia, Robert, and Ethan, I must ask you these questions. We have heard your testimonies already, but just so that we are clear, have you confessed your repentance of your sin to God? And have you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is it your desire to be baptized this morning and to take this step of obedience in front of all these family and friends and supporter, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Will you sincerely try, depending on the guidance of the Word and of the Spirit of God, to follow Christ and to serve Him in the fellowship and the mission of His church? Then it is my honor to be able to take part in your baptism. So, Netha, I'm going to ask you to come first. Netha, upon your confession of faith and upon your desire to serve in the church, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I extend to you the right hand fellowship as you join the West End Community Church. Just over there, Netha. Okay, Olivia. Here, let's just put that there. Okay. Just easy. There you go. Olivia. Yeah, sure. Good call. Upon your profession of faith, your desire to be baptized and to serve the Lord with wholehearted devotion and willing mind, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There you go. Okay, Robert. Over. Yeah. Just step to the end, maybe. You and Heath, there you go. Yeah, there you go. That's what you want to do. Upon your profession of faith, your desire to serve the Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There you go, bud. Okay, Shelby. Take that there. Okay, there you go. Upon your profession of faith, Shelby, your desire to serve the Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There you go. Okay. Okay. All these little comments. Ethan, upon your profession of faith and your desire to serve the Lord, it's a great honor to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There you go. And I extend the right hand of fellowship to you as well. I always forget that part. All right, go ahead, you guys, get changed. We're going to invite the worship team to come up and sing a few more songs here.